Each fall, as school begins and the seasons change, we make our way into worship back into the Old Testament and begin again to hear the story of God's people. We remember again that our ancestors in the faith may have lived in very different times and places, but they were also like us in many ways. And the record that they left for us in our holy scriptures is their testimony of their experience with God. These are the stories that have shaped our people for thousands of years, and they're the stories that continue to shape us. The stories make us as a community. We find ourselves in them. And that's actually what it means for them to have authority for us. The stories author us. Now, do we all hear them the same way? No. In this room, we have a wide diversity of theological beliefs and many ways of approaching these origin stories of ours, and that's okay. Even more than okay, that's good. That's what's going to keep us all honest and help us grow. And so as I preach these texts, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the things that we disagree on whether or not these stories could have been recorded on video exactly the way that they're scripted in the book. But I am going to encourage us all to think about what it means for these stories to be true for us. What it means for them to contain truth and wisdom and beauty and encouragement and warnings that will shape us in this place, in this time, to be the people that God needs us to be in this world. Because whether you believe that these are factual stories or fanciful stories, they are our stories, and they have something to say to us. So Greg and Sharon, if you guys want to make your way up here too. So as we hear the creation story this morning, let us listen now in the reading of Scripture for the word and the wisdom of God.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear."
And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the gathered waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds."
And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said,
"Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth."
And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. God also made the stars. And God set the sun and the moon in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the
let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky.
So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said,
"Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth."
And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said,
"Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind."
And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said,
"Let us make humankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground."
So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, they were created. Male and female, God created them and blessed them and said to them,
"Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the earth. I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit, with seed in it. This will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has a breath of life in it. I give every green plant for food."
And it was so. God saw all that was made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God finished the work, and so on the seventh day rested from all that work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God had rested from all the work of creating. This is the word of God for all people.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, guys. As we begin our stewardship series today, I want to invite you to reflect on what this story says about God and what this story says about us. My favorite part of this story is the idea that we are created in God's image, and that's what I want us to focus on this morning. This idea of being created in God's image has always fascinated human beings. Does it mean that we look like God? I think that's kind of a hard case to make. What I think is more likely is that we are designed to act like God, to do the kinds of things that God does. In other ancient Afro-Asiatic cultures, it was common for people to say that the king was made in God's image. And that had a lot to do with the king's authority to rule and to order his kingdom on behalf of the God that he worshiped. But our story says that everyone is created in God's image. Men and women, kids and adults, rulers and the people. Everyone is created in God's image. So we are all tasked with representing God in our world and taking responsibility for God's kingdom. Now, it's a pretty bold move for God to leave this whole thing in our hands. Many of us believe that God guides us and helps us and maybe even intervenes in really direct ways in the world sometimes. But for the most part, the day-to-day ordering of creation, caring for the world and caring for one another, producing and distributing resources, God leaves all of that up to us. Apparently, this God in whose image we are made would rather give us freedom than control us like puppets. To be stewards of creation is an awesome and weighty responsibility. It means that we have some work to do. So the question is, how do we do this work in the way that God did it, if we're made in God's image? Well, in this story, God speaks and God acts. God's words are tied to God's actions. God speaks God's intentions, and it's immediately followed by actions. God speaks, and God makes, and shapes, and builds. And that means that if we are created in God's image, then our words and our intentions, they're not quite enough to order the world. We are designed to reflect God, which means that we are designed for our words to be paired with some action. It is not enough for us to simply want to do good things or intend to do good things. It's not enough for us to simply post a rant on social media about this injustice that we see in the world. Because we reflect God, we are designed to have our words and our actions integrated together. Our words and intentions matter, they do. And our actions matter. And when we put them together, new things happen in the world. And we need some new things to happen in this world. In verse 28, God invites humanity to subdue the earth. Now, that does not mean to burn through our natural resources and do whatever we want. It means that as the creation that God set in motion continues to unfold, there are going to be things that need subduing. There are going to be things that need pruned in our world. There are going to be things that shouldn't happen, and it's up to us to stop them. It's up to us to subdue the earth. There are going to be things that die and need to be restarted. There are going to be things that become disordered in our world and our societies, and it's up to us to bring them back in line with God's original plan. The beginning of the story shows God subduing chaos. God hovers over the waters, the symbol for chaos. God subdues the chaos. God creates us in God's image, and we are invited to subdue the chaos that continues to happen in the world. In this story, God affirms 6 different times that creation is good. In fact, the final time, God looks around and sees everything that was done and said, "This is very good." Not just good, this is very good. But the story does not say perfect. That word good does not mean perfect. It also doesn't mean that everything was going to stay exactly the way it was. Maintaining this world in line with God's original intention of flourishing for all creatures, that's the work that's left up to us. That's what it means for us to be created in the image of God, is to do that work that was left to us. So what does this have to do with stewardship, if we're talking about stewardship? I think it's about generosity. God is inherently generous. God is love. We trust that God cares. We believe that suffering breaks God's heart. And since we are made in the image of God, suffering breaks our hearts too. It does. One of the most common human impulses that you will see when you look around the world is the impulse to reach out when someone is hurting. Marshall articulated it for us this morning. Pray for the victims of Hurricane Dorian. What can we do? When a hurricane or a tornado or a flood or a fire disrupts the order of the world, our immediate and instinctual reaction is to try to put that right, isn't it? To give money, to send cleanup supplies, to provide clothes, to donate food. We react in our gut to the suffering that we see in the world. We want to be generous. When someone falls, Whether it's a kid or an adult, almost all of us react instinctively with concern. We put out a hand. We want to help that person up. To be made in the image of God means, in part, to have this impulse towards generosity, to be wired to meet the needs that we see in the world around us. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks thinking about different aspects of stewardship from the perspective of some of these really well-known stories in the Old Testament. So this morning, my point is to be created in the image of God means to be a giver. Not just givers of money. There's no money in this story. But givers of time, givers of love, givers of care and space and encouragement. And all of us are already givers because we're all made in God's image. And the invitation of stewardship is to graciously open ourselves to God's Spirit and to see where God may be inviting us to grow in our giving. Maybe it's increasing your financial commitment here. Awesome. Maybe it's increasing your time commitment here. Fantastic. Maybe it's increasing the amount of love that you express to people who are outside of your own family. Amazing. All of those things matter when we're thinking about what it means to be givers who have an impulse, a God-given, God-reflecting impulse towards generosity. Here at Zion, I'll tell you, as we think about stewardship, we're not interested in getting more just for the sake of having more. We believe that God is growing our congregation because there's something that needs to be done in Delaware through our time and our love and our resources, and that's what we're interested in. And those are really exciting dreams for us to dream together. Does it require money? Yes, of course it does. But if we are all being the generous givers that we're wired to be because we're created in God's image, then it's going to work out. We don't have anything to worry about. Remember that Jesus invites us not to be anxious about anything, and that includes church budgets. I am not anxious about this at all. So how do we get to the place where we can do what God is calling us to do in Delaware? Well, first we have to discern what that is. Many of you in this congregation are already doing amazing acts of service in this city, but as a congregation, we're not doing a whole lot with our collective time and our collective resources. We don't have a mission here. So first and foremost, I'm asking you to pray about what God may be calling us to do in this city. Maybe you're not currently spending a lot of time on things outside yourself, and you may also want to pray about what God is calling you to do personally. And as God reveals these new opportunities to us, these areas where Delaware needs Zion, we're going to need resources to do them. And I think when it comes to giving, we fit into a few different categories. First, there may be some people in here who haven't been giving to Zion. For whatever reason, you just haven't made this a priority in your household budget. I'd like to invite you to start, because you will be amazed at how your feelings about this place change as you take that step in solidarity with the rest of us. You will feel even more a part of what's going on here when you financially invest. So you can use this pledge card to make a commitment for the next year and see how your feelings and actions change. Next, there are some of you who are already giving faithfully what God has prompted you to give, and all we need you to do is keep it up. That's it. You can use this pledge card to let us know what your plans are for the next year. And on behalf of everyone else, I thank you for your faithfulness. We decided that our approach to this season of stewardship would be to assume that people are already being generous, not to assume that everybody's being stingy. We are not just surviving here. We are in a season of thriving, and it is so exciting, and it's because of what everyone is already doing together. So just keep doing what you're doing. And there may be a few of us in this room who want to start giving or want to give more, but you are experiencing a deep fear of scarcity in your life. Could be a legitimately hard financial season for you, or it could just be that you're scared that if you give more, something is going to happen in your life and you won't have enough. And as your pastor, just please let me encourage you to be brave and to remind you that you're not alone. And the ironic solution of being afraid of not having enough, the way that we fix that, ironically, is to give something away. We fight scarcity through generosity. That impulse to meet needs, which is natural in us because we're created in God's image. Now, for your financial and your mental health, that may be that you do something small, and that's great. This is one area where I personally have experienced God providing for me over and over and over again in very unexpected ways. And so I just want to invite you to try it. If you're scared, just try it. You can use this pledge card to make a little commitment or to increase the commitment that you made last year. Stick to it and see what happens. You will feel terrified, and then you will feel free. Because you will be living in line with the way that you are created to be, because you are made in God's image for generosity. Amen.